and I'll call the meeting to order and ask everyone to rise to salute the virtual flag. I pledge allegiance.
6:56 PM.
Yeah. I pledge allegiance to the flag.
On the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands.
One nation,
under God, indivisible,
with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you so much. All right, so I'll call the roll. All right, Adam Pacheco?
Present.
Kathy Ducharme?
Here.
Okay, Linda Fusco, I'm here. Bob is absent. Mike is sitting in. He's resigned, and we're happy to have him here as a participant. Thank you so much. So we have a quorum, and we'll go on to item number 4, approval of minutes. We don't have them, you know, due to COVID and some unforeseen circumstances. We weren't able to get them or get them posted, but we should have them by Monday, and we'll put them on the August agenda, if that's all right. Obviously, my head is on dessert. Does anybody besides me have any? Okay. So I'm asking that we make a motion to delete 8B, which is discussion of FSS action plan. Maria Stout. I'm sure Maria will tell you when she does her her discussion of the five-year plan that she didn't think we had one and started to do one, and lo and behold, we do have one. So we're going to take that off the table for tonight, if that's all right. And the addition that I would like to make is under old business, item C, which is discussion and possible action on RFP on staffing of, and maintenance. I'd like to break that into C1 and C2. And I'd like to make that C2, and I would like to make C1 a discussion and possible action on emergency after hours and general work orders. I feel like I need to bring you up to speed with where we are and what's working and what is not working for us before we move on to the other thing. So can I have a motion for those two changes to the agenda?
I make a motion to approve the agenda as amended. By the chairperson.
Thank you so much. Discussion on the motion? Hearing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Thank you. Approved. Okay, thank you so much. Public portion, is there anyone from the public who would like to speak? Any of our residents call in tonight? All right, then we're going to go on to old business. You have a written update on the Section 8 program by Ken Schultz. Maria, you'll be able to answer questions because Ken couldn't be with us tonight.
Yes.
Okay. Has everyone had a chance to read Ken's update?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. I know that when we get to the new business, Maria is going to talk to you a lot more about the five-year PHA plan. You have documentation. One of them came today. But you had a copy of the plan, so she'll be talking to you a little bit more about that. But other than that, are there any questions on Ken's report?
No.
No, okay. It's a very tidy, very well organized report. I appreciate it.
It absolutely is. As I have to say, is all their work.
Yes.
Just that way.
Thank
all
you.
Right. You're welcome. So we'll move on to. Onto B, which is the report from Joan, and Joan is with us. Everybody's had a chance to read Joan's report?
Yes.
Okay. Any questions for Joan? Joan, would you like to say anything?
Oh, she's muted.
Oh, can we unmute her?
Mark, can you do that? Mark?
Yep, go ahead. Who's muted?
Joan.
Joan.
Well, she has to unmute herself.
Okay.
Let me see if I can check.
Got it. Okay.
Did it? Okay.
Yay.
Hello, everyone.
Hi, Joan.
Hi.
Hi.
Thank you for coming.
Oh, sure.
We're on your report, so I thought you might like to talk about it since you're here.
I don't know if you had any questions. Doing the report is a little bit arbitrary. It's hard to put into a report everything that happens day to day. A lot of it is repetitive and back and forth, but it covers the gist of, you know, what the day is or the week is or the month is. Mm-hmm. So if you had any questions, I'd be glad to, you know, answer them. I do have some other comments I would like to make, if that's okay. Or questions.
Of course. Questions, folks?
Joan, I have some questions. I had asked Joan to reach out to a listserv group of, other resident coordinators in other housing, and she had forwarded the list of responses. And most of them all mentioned a level of anxiety that was starting to happen within their residents. There was a lot of arguments, a lot of just things that were happening in general that all are definitely because of the community rooms being closed, of them breaking apart furniture so there's no gatherings. Do you feel that way with our group of residents?
I think it had not been so bad till this week. I think people expect it to be beyond it, and they're not, and they're very, I'm not sure what the right word is, but it wasn't a very good day. We had a lot of people at each other. I was at multiple sites, and I think it's, you know, it's getting tedious for them. But, you know, I try to tell them the good news. It's the summer. You can still be outside. You're not right. Captivated. And the laundry room is open. You know, it's accessible. Other than that, they have their own apartments. They can sit outside. You know, I try to encourage the social distancing and the masks, which, you know, we can't police, but that's right. What our recommendation is, you know. Some of them are very, very good about doing it. Some just refuse. And, you know, then others call me and say, why don't you make them? Well, I say, well, because we can't make them. They have to make their own decisions with the knowledge they have and going forward using their own discretion. So
I think... Do we have signs up at all that indicate, okay. Good.
Yeah. And, you know, I mean, it's common knowledge. There's signs in the community of their own. There's signs, you know, the newsletter, mm-hmm. you know, continues to say, use a face mask, social distancing, et cetera. But, you know, you can't police it, unfortunately. And we're at a disadvantage mm-hmm. with garden apartment style homes. A lot of Kathy, what you saw, a lot of them were high rise and they have security. You have to come in through one central door. So it's a much easier thing to orchestrate or monitor than it is three sites that are separate, you know.
Right. You don't feel overwhelmed with residents that are having troubles? I mean, you know, social problems and...
Today was not good. We had a couple of... unfortunate, you know, incidences, but it's not surprising. It's people that I've seen that are agitators anyway.
Okay.
And, you know, it's just exacerbated a little bit, but it's probably not much out of the norm. Okay. And, you know, it's unfortunate. I did my daily thing for Ellen, and I went into great detail about some of the issues because I do think there may be some repercussions, and I think some things have to be addressed to some individuals that think they're the police warden for the property.
Okay.
And they're being very picky. They're picking and choosing who they want to let do things, and that's just not fair. You know?
And from what I've read, I think that a lot of this is escalated because of the times that we're in right now, that everybody is just so trapped.
Yes, yeah. And they're frustrated. They want to have their families in, and we're not encouraging that. If it's medical, that's another whole topic. But then people make their own little rules, you know, The notices I had put up in the laundry room, especially at Steiger, some people had written in their own rules and regs that they thought.
Oh,
so I took them down Monday and I put the regular sign back up that's trying to be consistent between the three properties. You know, it's all different personalities, but the same issues come up. You know, it's okay. Not rocket science. It's humanity.
Thank you, Joan. Sure.
Thank you. Adam, do you have any questions for Joan?
I do. Joan, this is Adam. I guess my question largely regards compliance issues as you see them and as we move forward with the smoking-free policy as presented by HUD and how we're going to go. I want to say we've had a what I'll call a watershed moment where we've had a fire that's largely, yes, most probably due to a smoking materials issue. And we are now aware that there's an issue. We've been blissfully ignorant prior to this moment. And it needs to be addressed. And yeah, I don't know how, given your experience in the field, how you see that implementation going. And what pitfalls should we be looking for? And what programs and as far as implementation do we need to be advancing?
Okay, first of all, this is news to me that we're thinking about going smoke-free. So I wasn't aware of that, but I think it's something that HUD was looking at, you know, 4 or 5 years ago, trying to make a lot of the supportive properties smoke-free. And I worked at Countryside Apartments in Wolcott, and we went smoke-free there. And it was quite a process. We started 16 months ahead of time. All of us staff and RSCs took training. We went up to Springfield, Mass, to the American Lung Association. We had 3-day training because we had to give the residents 16 months, I believe, was the right timeline, because they had to decide whether they wanted to stop smoking. And it's a very difficult thing to do if you smoke for 30 or 40 or 50 years. And if they wanted to continue to smoke, they had to look for property elsewhere to live. So we had to give them that timeline in order to say, yes, I am going to continue to smoke, so then you cannot live here. So the whole process is pretty difficult, but I think many of the residents, let me say, were very happy, because a lot of them that have COPD had people smoking outside their room, and they were negatively impacted by, the person next door smoking, who, and a lot of the, I would have to say, anyone that was over 80 smoking felt we were really impinging on their rights. This was America, they were smoking, this was their home. And we had to reinforce that they were renting a HUD property, and HUD was trying to bring health to the project rather than encouraging people to be sicker with COPD, et cetera, asthma. I mean, so the process is pretty arduous, but the sooner that's what you're going to do, the sooner you start getting that out and making sure the applications that go out say we are embarking on a smoke-free, you know, environment, so any of the people that are applying know that that's the situation. So, Adam, I don't know if that answered your question, but it's a process, certainly. And
yeah,
have to do a lot of notice and educating.
Without question. I'm certainly glad to hear that you have experience with the process.
Yes.
And I do believe that, certainly it's my position that that's the direction we need to move forward in, and sooner rather than later.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, I'll make sure that I put a packet in, and I made it item number F under old business, because we actually had, I think maybe a year ago, we had a conversation and we put together a subcommittee and we just didn't have the ability to follow through. So okay. I think probably that's what we'll look at tonight. And you certainly do need to be a part of that.
Okay, sure. Yeah, I saw that, and I wondered what that meant, updating on a non-smoking policy, because I know we tell them not to smoke in the apartments, but a non-smoking property, you don't smoke anywhere in the parking lot. And we had trouble with our staff that were smokers, you know, which may not be a problem here, but for our maintenance people and stuff, they were, well, I work here, I'm going to smoke. And I said, no, you're not. If the residents can't, you can't, you know.
Right.
Yeah. But I think there's lots of policy. I think HUD has some pretty good guidelines on what needs to be done and how to do it. And some of the other properties, like, you know, Beacon Properties, have probably laid out some good plans that we could, you know, capitalize on.
Sure. I'll make sure you get a copy tomorrow of the HUD handbook.
Okay.
All right.
Yeah.
We can continue to discuss this probably at the next meeting. We'll pick it up.
Yeah. It's a process. It's a long process. Yeah.
John, clearly. Ellen, what about the smoking of other stuff besides cigarettes?
I only have the experience at Countryside Apartments. We did not allow any kind of smoking, vaping, marijuana. It was anything that was being inhaled was considered smoking.
Cigars, I think the problem was, sure, all of that. But you know, now I think that there's some residents who have prescriptions for medical marijuana.
Yes.
It's a little bit different today.
Yes, I think we have probably more at our properties than I had at 120 units. I actually don't know anyone at Countryside that had medical marijuana rights. And mm-hmm. that probably is much more pronounced today. You're right.
Sure. So I
right.
think
so
you know,
that's
we need
another
policy
yeah.
for that.
Yeah, that's a whole
have a
another
that.
Category to look into. Yeah.
Sure. Any other questions for Joan?
Linda, can I make a comment?
Of course.
All right. I just want to make a quick comment to what I just heard from Adam about the fact that Derby Housing has now had a fire. I just want to
yes.
bring to your attention, a woman in 29 is burning multiple candles, and she's getting a cat. And I would think cats and candles don't go together. So I'm just hoping that that's not the next fire here. Hopefully it's not.
Joan, are you aware of any of that?
I know that Maggie is looking to adopt a cat, yes. I don't know about the candles. So, Mike, that's something. When you say she burns them, are they lit ones?
Yeah, the open flame. Yeah, and
open
I, and
flame.
I discussed
okay.
this. I mentioned it to Ellen, and Ellen had told me, it says in the lease, no open flames, no candles. So I'm just thinking, I hope it's not the next fire.
Yeah, that's a good point, Michael. Okay.
All right. So
thank
would you.
You
be willing to explore that with her a little bit?
Absolutely. Sure. Yeah.
If she continues to do it, then we'll be able to send her correspondence about that.
Okay.
Yeah. Tell her it's part of the lease, Joan.
Okay. I'll have to look at the, I think Ellen gave me a copy of the lease. So I'll look at it and make sure that every, you know, that it's there, that it's clear to her. Okay.
Right. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Any other questions for Joan? All right. Then we'll move then on to C1.
Could I just ask Mike, I just had some thoughts, Linda, would that be okay?
Sure.
Okay. My concern is when I'm doing hours, I know that I'm supposed to be doing 20 hours a week, and sometimes it's just not possible to get done. I don't mind at all doing the 20 hours or 30 or whatever it needs and not having it infringe upon the grant, because I know Ellen has said I shouldn't be going over 20 hours. There's no way, especially now with the rental rebate and the farmer's market, it's no way it's going to be done in 20 hours. But I'm okay with being paid 20 hours, but I need to do what I need to do for the residents. So I don't know where that would, you know, go. But it's okay with me if I just get 20 hours, regardless of whether it's 24 or 27. You know, so.
No, I'm not okay with you working more hours than you should without being compensated for it. I think we have to have a conversation about that.
Okay. It's okay with me because I feel more comfortable doing what I know needs to be done than laying awake at night thinking, oh my God, I saw this adjournment and get it done, you know. So the other thing, I don't know if you guys look at my report that I could tell them, but I do a drug drop, and I just wanted to make sure that's what I call it, that you understand what that is. I collect old drugs. Like Sunday, I had about $2,000 worth of drugs that I took to the Shelton police. They have a drug container that you can do. So I'm always concerned about our residents sharing drugs, not illegal drugs. These are prescription drugs. You know, one has a backache, a headache, and they say, oh, this worked for me, and I didn't use them all. And I really worry about them sharing them because you don't know what other medications they're on or what the contraindications are. So that's why I try to encourage them to give me old scripts or ones that they're not going to use so I can dispose of them, you know, safely. So, just an FYI, and because it looks like we're going to be wearing masks into the next century, I think. But the Department of Health and Human Services last week, maybe the week before, had an opportunity to get masks, and I was able to order 1,000 that they would come free.
Oh, gosh.
That's
awesome.
Thank you.
Yeah, so that was just lucky. That was through Kathy, again, through CARSH. Someone got this notice and sent it out to us. Yeah.
Wow.
So the other thing, and I'll be quick.
We are so lucky that you have all these contacts, Joan.
Oh, that's just CARSH. That's just part of the package. So anybody have any objections? I would like, you know where the sign is, like it's Geiger, and if it looks so barren, if we put flowers, Rich said he'd be willing to plant them if I bought them. Is that okay with you guys? I don't know if anyone has ever done plantings for the housing, you know, to make it pretty to come in.
Beautification is good.
I don't have an objection.
Okay. Because I did put a planter by Steiger's entrance, because the first thing you would see is a plastic bucket with cigarette butts. So I moved that over and put a couple of plants on it. So,
kind of not what we want to see when we walk in the first thing, no.
No, not too attractive, yeah. Okay, so if you guys are okay with that, maybe we'll work on that over the weekend.
Okay, I don't have an objection. Adam, Kathy?
No, thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. I like flowers.
Sounds good.
Okay. The other thing on the website, it says on our website, City of Derby, the address needs to be updated, but it says 106 elderly. How would disabled people know that they could apply?
Oh. So is that our old website? Because there's another website that is a more modern looking website, and it just says derbyhousing.com.
Okay.
Is that the one you're talking about?
I went on the one to sign up tonight while I was waiting to go on. I just went into the City of Derby.
This is a separate one, which Mark has to connect this one still to city's website.
Okay.
It's
no
one
big
that
deal.
We
yeah.
had built. Yeah.
Okay. Just because if the address, maybe it would be good to have it changed so Ellen gets the mailings that she needs, you know, to the post office box.
Mark, are you still on there? Are you with us, Mark? Okay.
I'll make a note to email him.
Okay.
Or do you want to do it?
Yes, I'm on. Are you looking for me?
Okay.
Sorry. Two meetings at the same time.
We still need to connect our derbyhousing.com site to the city's link because the old one is still up on the city. Joan noted that it had the wrong address, but the new website, the derbyhousing.com, has all the new information.
Oh, okay.
Sure. Well, send me an email with all the information, and I'm happy to
okay.
to put it up there.
Okay.
Thank you. Thanks, everyone. I'm finished.
Thanks, Joan.
You're welcome.
All right. So we're going to go to 7C1, And so let me preface that by just telling you, we have tried really hard to put together some kind of a plan that gets the work done that needs to be done without Lou and Anna present. Mm-hmm. And we started trying to address the after-hours stuff, and we hired Frank Sikarski, understanding that he had a full-time job and could only do this on his off-hours. But I think what's happened is that as his responsibilities at work have increased and he gets closer to his vacation, his wedding, his honeymoon, and all of that, it has been increasingly more difficult for him to give us hours. So Ellen, what I found out last week is that Ellen has been still doing the on-call, and when he can give us some time, he does the work orders, okay? And that's been really stressful to Ellen. So then we had problems turning over the apartments because we had an excess number of apartments for reasons we all understand, you know, mostly COVID. People have passed, not from COVID, but, you know, people have gone to live with their families. People have gone to higher levels of care. We've had an extraordinary amount. So we got Ultimate Cleaning, who really were the people who came in and painted and cleaned. They were willing to try to do some other things, and things got bogged down a little bit. So last Friday, Bob and I were working on the RFP. Bob said, hey, my friend from Citywide can come and help out. So, you know, we decided to explore Citywide, and I met with him on Friday, I believe. And, you know, I tried to talk to him about doing the day-to-day work orders that come up, if not the emergency stuff, then at least the day-to-day stuff. And some of it he was willing to do. He said, look, if my guys are on site, if I'm working at Steiger and I'm flipping apartments and, you know, you've got a couple of things over there, I'll release somebody. But otherwise, it's kind of a whole ball of wax, a different ball of wax. And we called him back today just so that I was clear. He's not refusing, but then he wants a different kind of an arrangement, you know, where he's billed. He was actually going to try to put a billing together. So we have a couple of things that need to be done that haven't gotten done, like Joan's air conditioner and someone else's refrigerator. So that led me to, you know, listening to Ellen and her frustration, and rightful frustration ongoing, led me to call over to Imagineers and say to Ken, listen, you know, we're kind of in a bind here. This is what's going on. We're working on an RFP. You're welcome to bid on the RFP. But in the meantime, I know that you have those services. Are you willing to think about coming in on an emergent basis and helping us out here? Because I'm not sure how else we can do it. We tried three different things, and still there's a tremendous amount of work that's not getting done. So what you have in your packet, and you got it today, I'm sorry, because I was in Maine for the day yesterday. I had to go up and do some business with my condo up there. And so I didn't catch it until today, is a proposal for short-term emergent after-hours coverage and day-to-day work orders. Anybody have any questions? Have you had a chance to look at it? And Maria, you would be able to answer questions, or Vicente, one of you would be able to. We have guests with us. Maria and Vicente from Imagineers. Ken couldn't be with us.
Depending on what maybe the questions are, but we'd really prefer that Ken maybe be part of that conversation.
I know.
And you know, we could take the questions, and then I could have him address it directly with you.
Okay.
I could really use a relief here.
I know, Ellen.
I've been on call 24 hours, 7 days a week. I had one day off since Anna left.
Linda, are we looking for help from Imagineers to have someone like our maintenance that we had previously, just to have someone that we could call at any time to say come out and, you know, somebody's oven's not working or somebody's refrigerator stopped or their air conditioner isn't working? Is that what we're looking for from Imagineers, like that and more?
Well, that until we either decide to do this RFP or to hire people, because the work is just not getting done. And some of it may require our vendors. You know, we have a plumber, we have an electrician, we have, you know, somebody else. I'm thinking at the moment, but we have specific people that we can call in the middle of the night if it's a big thing. But it's things like Ellen got a call at 1:30 in the morning. that there was a raccoon in the dumpster. She got that call twice.
Oh my gosh.
I know.
So, because it sounds to me like we need to just hire people, like to have at least one person on the grounds that could take care of stuff like that. I mean, but again, how long will that take? It's a process to get, you know, get that out there to think about hiring someone.
Could I just say something?
Yeah.
Go. Yeah, absolutely. This is about you.
The two that we had worked out fine. Their hours were staggered, so if something needed to be done by two people, they were there. If something happened right there, they were there. But I'm thinking if Imagineers could come in and take over some of these hours from me on, you know, the emergency calls at least and all that, and the work orders that come in. I mean, they just some relief. I have nobody. I'm going out and I'm pushing full garbage cans because the garbage didn't get picked up that day. So I'm pushing garbage cans full from 6th Street down to our dumpster in the parking lot where we used to park for work to have to empty them because there was all maggots in them.
So I'm hearing we can't sit and wait on this. This has to happen immediately. We have to get some relief there for her, whether it's, you know, we've been asking everybody we know, do you know anyone looking for a maintenance job? And we really, I mean, Ellen was the only one that brought someone in. I think we have to put out an ad looking for help. And we also probably have to hire Imagineers to do, you know, the bigger stuff, but we need somebody to fill in for what we had.
It depends on where you, listen, what does this board want to do? Do we want to go back to hiring two people or do we want to go to the RFP? Because the RFP is going to take time and then we'd have to put in something emergent like Imagineers. I feel like we have at least right now three different resources and we're not, I mean, don't misunderstand, the apartments are being flipped. Citywide, they started, we had the conversation on Friday. They've already got one done and they're going in tomorrow to do another. So it's not work is not getting done, but it's not the work that Ellen needs at the moment for relief. What was imminent on Friday was she needed to get those apartments flipped. So we're getting the apartments flipped, but she needs relief for the after hours. So it's going to take time to put ads in the paper. It's going to take time to get this RFP through. I think we need somebody or some agency that will come in on an emergent basis and just do the work until a decision is made. I know that Imagineers would be very interested in applying for the RFP, and my thought with them is because they already do the work, and we have a contract with them for something else, to do this on an emergent basis would be fastest.
Yeah, perfect. I have no issues
with that. I want us to move forward with the RFP process and be consistent with our we have very new processes and new rules regarding mm-hmm. procurement and all of those things. So I want to ensure that we're doing that for our longer term contracts. I acknowledge that we have a short term problem that needs to probably be handled with an unconventional type of deal. Certainly open to that, but I don't want us to lose sight of the bigger picture. So let's maintain that RFP because a lot of good work was done there, Linda, and the credit certainly goes to you for that. I don't want us to abandon that because it certainly there's a more pressing issue immediately in front of us.
Sure, and that's why I separated them out but sort of put them under the same number because they really are two different things. One is to solve an immediate problem and then the other is to fix the long-term problem.
Agreed, and I'm certainly amicable to whatever short-term solutions that we were able to implement immediately to get Ellen the relief she needs and to service our complexes appropriately. So, yeah, whatever we have to do to get the work done, because the onus is on us to manage that effectively. Let's do it, but let's make sure that we are careful in the wording and the contracting of that short-term work. So it's curtailed just to a short-term period and doesn't impinge upon a longer term contract.
Okay, that makes sense. So if we can vote on this in the short term, I can work with Ken on Monday to draft a contract that would be short term until we are able to go through the RFP process and select an appropriate company that meets our needs.
That sounds perfect.
Okay, so then if it's all right, I'll make the motion that we work with Ken. I'll talk with him on Monday. We'll draft the contract. And if you give me permission to sign it, shall we say 3 months? If you looked at your, I'm just going to flip over to the RFP for one moment. If you looked at the RFP, what was missing was the date. You know, you have to publish it in the paper, and then you have to give them so much time to respond. I don't do that. So my plan was to call, if once the RFP was approved, to call Patty Finn on Monday and say, help me with the date. Here's the document, and go ahead and publish it. So I'm going to guess that we're probably 2 to 3 months out on being able to choose, I think. Again,
yeah,
I'm not.
That sounds very reasonable to me.
All right. So Maria, if you see Ken before I, let me make the motion. I motion then that we contract short term 3 months with Imagineers for provision of work orders and daily work orders and after hours emergency service. Do I have a second?
I'll second it.
Discussion on the motion. Thank you, Adam. Hearing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay. All right. So, Maria, if you would tell Ken that I'll be calling him on Monday and we'll get this going. Hopefully we can start it very soon.
Thank you.
Will do.
You're welcome.
You're welcome. Sorry, Ellen.
I know. We had a very difficult discussion today, Ellen and I. It was painful for us both, I have to tell you. So I'm glad to have a resolution here. Okay, so we're going to move on then to new business item 8, and that is discuss and approve Derby Housing Authority's 5-year plan and HUD's mandated plan requirements. The mandated plan requirements, I'm sorry. I've got too many notes on my, we're going to go back to the RFP. We're still on C2. So you've had a chance to look at the RFP, correct?
Correct.
Yes.
Okay. So the only thing that I realized today was that you didn't have the attachment. If you look on, I think, page 4 under scope of work, if you see K, you'll see that Bob and I added the attached sheet. What that attached sheet is, and I'll get a copy to you on Monday, is the body of responsibilities for the job spec for our maintenance people. Because Bob and I didn't want to leave out one single thing that we would want somebody to do that wasn't maybe spelled out adequately in the RFP. So that was the attachment. It's 21 things, starting with assessing equipment, appliances, fixtures, et cetera, to purchasing. Purchases are to be turned into the AP department. So it's very specific, probably more so than this template and what we fleshed out is, but that was the only thing that you don't have.
Good. Well, anything that makes it more comprehensive is good in my book.
Yep. Okay. So then can I have a motion to accept the RFP as written, and I will get to Patty first thing on Monday morning and get the date, and she'll publish for us.
I'll make
a motion to accept the RFP as written, as well as including the amendment offered by Chairperson Pusco.
Perfect. Thank you. Ask your second. Thank you. Any discussion on the motion? Hearing none. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Nay? Nobody? Okay. Motion approved. All right. So, Maria, that brings us to you, 8A. The introduction to the plan was sent today. Again, I'm sorry. I was away yesterday. But the body of the plan, of the 5-year plan, you have had for a bit. Hopefully everybody got a chance to look at everything. Mm-hmm. Okay. Maria, would you like to talk about this? And Vicente?
Sure. So thank you for having us here with you.
Thank you for
So as you know, this 5-year plan is a mandate from HUD for all the housing authorities to develop and submit a 5-year plan. And it's a mechanism to help ensure that we're making efficient use of the federal assistance funds that we get and effectively operate the programs and to better assist the residents. And so basically, the 5-year plan outlines the mission of the Housing Authority, the goals and the objectives long term, and then also to report on the previous 5 years' goals. And then, so that's called the progress report. And then there's also an element for the Violence Against Women Act. So it's kind of like a certification within that 5-year plan that outlines, you know, what the Housing Authority is going to do to make sure that it is compliant with VAWA. And then also there's a section for significant modifications to the plan. The Housing Authority has to describe what that would entail. And then there's a section for the resident advisory comments. So what we've done is that we took the previous 5-year plan and dissected it to be able to report on that progress. And then for the goals, that we would work on, that's illustrated in, let me pull up this. It's on page two, where B2, where it describes 5 elements, 5 goals. So expanding the supply of the assisted housing. So we've added that we would, Derby would apply for any additional rental vouchers if they become available. And then the second goal, to improve the quality of the assisted housing. And there's 12 objectives there. I won't read through them. And then C is to increase the assisted housing choices. And that's basically, in conducting the outreach to landlords, especially those in higher opportunity areas, provide the mobility counseling. And in this year, we're working extensively to ramp up the mobility component to the housing assistance program, and hopefully partnering with Open Community Alliance to help with that effort as well. And then D, ensure equal opportunity and affirmatively further fair housing. And then there's other PHA goals and objectives. So that's on page two, and it's, we detail it as much as possible. And then B3 is the progress on the goals that were set previous to this plan here. And basically there were 3, expanding the Derby supply of assisted housing, improve the quality of the assisted housing, and increase the assisted housing choices. We tried to get as much information from the paperwork that we got when we stepped into into the Derby Housing Authority. So we tried to capture what was stated before with those goals. So hopefully, you agree with it, and we could change anything out. This is draft form. so if you've had the opportunity, if you haven't gotten the opportunity, you know, to take a look at it and you want us to change anything, you'll have that opportunity. We have public housing hearing set for July 16th at 6 p.m. It's through a Zoom platform. The announcement for the hearing was placed in the New Haven Register on Wednesday. Yeah, on Wednesday, letting people know, you know, that the plan was available, the draft plan was available for review. And, you know, we'll make it available. There's a section there where it talks if you wanted to submit any objections, I mean, any suggestions or recommendations to email Ellen. But Ellen, I didn't get an opportunity to speak to you. You would just forward that to us and then we would make sure that those comments and suggestions are recorded, because part of the plan, the five-year plan, is to record the suggestions that are made or any of the comments and what the results are and report to HUD on them. So there's a section in the plan for that, and we would do that. We've also mailed out to 50 of the residents, the program participants. When we looked at the plan, the previous plan, there were three people on the resident advisory board, and I could only find two people, which are the two participants in the homeownership program. So we have to have a greater representation of the program participants to be able to, you know, comment on the plan to make sure, did, you know, the housing authority, you know, address the needs and, you know, are the goals and objectives, you know, acceptable. And so we sent out a letter to them with a questionnaire. And then also an invite if they wanted to be a permanent member of the resident advisory board, and a self-enclosed, self-addressed stamped envelope. So we're hoping that, you know, we get comments and the, you know, the interest for them to be a part of the resident advisory board. We've also, part of the requirement is to get the state of Connecticut to take a look at the plan and make any comments and certify if it aligns with their consolidated plan. And that got sent out to Mike Santoro from the state. And just in this week, we got the certification back signed that it was. So we need to get submitted to HUD as well with the certification on civil rights that, you know, the a board member would sign off on. Once all of that has taken place, the public hearing, the plan and the certifications will be sent electronically to HUD. And then that would meet the requirement. It's a bit late. That was supposed to have happened January 16th, but in speaking with HUD and just, it, you know, just the circumstance of what ended up happening, you know, they're aware. So we're just trying to hurry it up and get this to them before any more time goes by. That's basically it. On an annual basis, there's a process that needs to happen. Derby is a qualified PHA, which means that they're not troubled. They're not a troubled PHA. They have 550 units or less of both public housing and vouchers. So the only mandate is on an annual basis to do a public hearing to make the plan available just as it is. And we wouldn't be creating an annual plan, but if there's any amendment or any changes that are made, we would just do like a little revision. we still need to hold the public hearing. We still need to contact the residents to get their feedback. And then the civil rights certification would need to be signed and then once again sent to HUD electronically.
It's quite a process, isn't it?
It could be a little bit tedious. It's great that Derby is a qualified PHA. For the larger ones, it's a lot more detailed. There's these analyses that ends up happening. There's a lot more attachments that need to be included in the submission to HUD. So hopefully you'll have the opportunity to take a look at it, and then we could make it a final plan just before it gets submitted into HUD.
Okay, so Adam and Kathy, do you have any thoughts about this or questions? Because you would like to submit this by when? You would like this finalized by when?
Yeah, so through the waiver, through COVID and all the HUD waivers, there's a waiver that was done for housing authorities to hold off and be able to submit the PHA plan at a later time, and one of them happens July 31st. So we'd like to hit that target, but once again, Dawn from HUD is very, she's very flexible with that. But we just want it, for Derby and all of us to just have that be behind us, because then it'll be something else, and pretty soon, we'll have to start the process of, CMAP and everything else. So
sure.
But you do have, it's kind of like a little bit short notice, but you do have the opportunity to still, take a look at it and comment and have us change what you feel is necessary.
I'm looking at the calendar. So the next time that we would meet by schedule would be August 6th. That's past the 31st. Otherwise, we'd have to come together in a special meeting to approve it. Kathy and Adam, do you have questions for Maria?
I have none.
No, I'm good at this time.
Are you two feeling like you're ready to vote on it, or do you want more time?
I feel confident with Imagineers. I think that if something arises that they need our input on, they'll reach out to you, and you in turn will reach out to us. But I feel like if we give the approval now, then we won't be holding them back from submitting this as soon as they feel confident that it's ready.
Okay. Adam, how do you feel about that?
I just want to ensure that, as we move forward with this plan, that we don't have loose ends, if you will, any conflicts that are existing regarding obviously the maintenance of our properties, the assigned, the other functions of our office that are managed through grants, whether it be FSS or otherwise. Are any of those in conflict, those timelines? And does this plan, as I'm reading it, I need to address the in limbo state of that, or a future contract, if you will?
I think the only grant program that it really affects is FSS. Is that what you mean?
Yeah, I just want to make sure that we're not signing off on a plan that doesn't include the necessary functions of our offices. So I'm just trying to create forever language, if you will. And by forever, I mean 5 years. So we don't have to keep rehashing the same issues over and over again. So I want to be as comprehensive as possible. So I don't know if delaying it a month allows us to ensure that those things are appropriately addressed, or if they're a non-issue. It sounds like Dawn is certainly flexible enough to make to make things work for us. I understand it sounds like we're already 6 months in arrears here, so I definitely want to get it done.
Right.
So do you want to schedule a special meeting?
I don't know. I guess I offer my concerns as more of a query to Maria. Do you think that there are things that we would be better served to address and ensure are included in a plan going forward versus that this loose framework may not have addressed because you didn't have those specifics? And would it be better to wait and do that, or just to do this and then handle those individual issues at a later date?
Yeah, so in regards to the plan, it's basically to come up with you know, foremost, it's like the mission statement, and then the goals and the objectives, right? So the goals, in response to your question in regards to FSS, and you know, if it wanted to expand on you know, rental assistance, you know, you've already made that, you know, comment that, look, you know, one of the goals is to expand on getting more programs, or, you know, applying for different types of funding. And then for another goal is to promote the family self-sufficiency program and increase those numbers of families. If you wanted to elaborate a little bit more on it, you could, but it's basically just, you know, in letting HUD know, look, this is what our intent is, in the next 5 years to build FSS, to do project-based, to, you know, to apply for more of this, to, you know, to do something with the mobility counseling and those kinds of things. If you are concerned about something that's lingering, you know, that's something that could be addressed, you know, outside of the PHA plan.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, I'm not necessarily concerned about what's lingering. I know the makeup of our board, and I know our intent is pure. My concerns are, how is the state going to perceive, or the Fed going to perceive a plan that doesn't acknowledge the fact that we don't have an FSS action plan. We don't have handbooks for our tenants and our landlords. We don't have a quality control plan. And are they going to look at the plan that is produced and say, well, this plan is deficient. It doesn't meet the standard. It's not what we want from a housing authority. And
yeah, so it's more towards you know, HUD. So just to let you know, one of the things that we've created, you know, because this is what's in the forefront here, the 5-year plan, and we could certainly do, you know, we have every intentions of providing, you know, to everyone, you know, the handbook that we've created for both the landlords and the tenants, the quality control, and impediments to fair housing, limited proficiency policy, Vicente helped me out, a lead paint policy. All of that has been created, you know, and it's in a file for you guys to review. And it's not something that, it's mandated to submit to HUD with this 5-year plan. It's very specific. A long time ago, you know, you had to do all of that. And we could certainly do it, you know, send everything, you know, to HUD. But with these small, you know, because it is a qualified housing authority, it's not mandated. But we could certainly, you know, include it so that, you know, Derby is not getting a letter saying, hey, your 5-year plan is deficient. It's very specific, you know, what the attachments are.
Okay, that's good. I appreciate that answer. Yeah, and certainly I want you to be clear that I'm not questioning anyone on this call's intentions.
Sure.
That's not what I'm saying. But intentions aren't reality. We need to discuss what actually exists and what actually we have provided as a service. And I guess I am reassured. I appreciate your insights regarding that. Those things are not a necessity of the document. So I'm comfortable moving forward. Having said that, I still want them to be included if okay. we have them.
Sure. Yep, that's a good idea. We can do that.
Yeah.
All right. Marie, anything else you want to say on that?
No. No. Vicente?
No, I'm sorry. I think you've laid it out quite well.
Okay. Right. And then just so that I'm clear, or for Linda, do you want me on Monday? I could. I have one element to finish, and it's with the impediments. And then I could send it to you, and then you could share it with all the members.
Sure. Okay. Let's do that, okay. And then we'll just call a special meeting, and you'll have it in time for the 31st. I'll let you know, and you can get back online with us and discuss it.
Okay.
All right. Very good. Let me just I'm taking notes here.
Yeah, I'm doing the same.
Yeah. All right, Maria, thank you so much. All right, so we're going to go down to 8C, which is discussion and possible action on securing the doors and addition of cameras at Guardiano. Now, there's only one issue here, and that's, well, there's two things that are missing here. After I had the initial conversation with Stefano, Mike and Ellen said to me, hey, Linda, there's two doors there. One's a back door. It's got a push bar. So I texted Stefano and said, there's a second door, it's got a push bar. What do we need to secure that? And I didn't hear back from him. I asked Ellen last week to reach out.
I talked to him tonight.
Okay.
I talked to him tonight just before the meeting. He said he's really sorry. He's been so busy he didn't have a chance to send anything. He said, but it'll be approximately $1,500 to $1,600 to add the other door so that you'll have two people.
Okay. And what he's got here too on his email is the cost of the internet, getting internet into the building, which I think when he texted me, it was somewhere between $200 and $300. Would you all like to wait until I can get this updated with the missing information?
I'm happy making a motion. You can move forward as long as we can keep this under $5,000.
Yeah.
Okay.
I agree.
So, Adam, is that a motion?
Sure.
Okay. Adam, he's moving that we can go forward as long as it stays under $5,000. Kathy, did I hear a second?
Yes, you did. I'll second that.
Thank you. Discussion on the motion? Okay. Hearing none. Motion passes. We'll call Adam on Monday. That's a big, long list on Monday. Okay. All right, so that brings us to acceptance of Mike Mazzola's letter of resignation. You all have that in front of you?
Yes.
That would be 8D. Mike, I really want to thank you for the time that you've spent with us. You've been really helpful and really a joy to work with. We're sorry to see you go. Mike is actually thinking about moving down to Virginia, which is kind of what made him decide to do this now. So I know I'll see you before you go, but I certainly wish you well.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Did you have anything you wanted to say?
Just a little bit. You know, first of all, I want to thank you and Kathy and Adam and Bob and everybody at Derby Housing for having me on the board. You know, and I truly appreciate everything you guys have done for me. But again, my thing was my brother and myself were ready to go. We were supposed to be moving to Virginia July 1st. But because of the coronavirus, you know, everything is on hold. And my Absolutely. Realtor down there is just starting to show houses and doing closings. So she says, Larry, see if she can get six or eight houses together, and we'll have to run down and see what what transpires from that. But I don't even know at this point, Linda, if you can move out of state with this COVID-19. So, you know, with these quarantines.
Well, I know from Maine, I was supposed to have a COVID test. I've not ever been tested. I was going up for the day, and if I was to stay, hotels couldn't put me up without that letter from my doctor saying I had a negative COVID test within so many days. I suppose I could have been pulled over and stopped on the main turnpike. I wasn't. I was happy. I do think there's some quarantine restrictions, but if you stay in your hotel for 14 days and you have your letter saying that you tested negative, you might be all right. You have to check the state.
Yeah, I'll have to talk to my primary care doctor.
Sure, sure.
And your real estate agent should be able to give you info on the quarantine problems and issues in that area as well.
Up to now, she hasn't. Like I said, she just told me she just started doing closings. And she said she is starting, they were doing everything virtual. Of course, when you look at a house out of state on virtual, it's not the same as when you see it in person.
Right.
So we're just being patient when she calls us, and we'll just go from wherever it takes us. That's what we'll do.
All right. Thank you for your service with us, Mike.
Yeah, oh, thank you. It's been great working with all of you. I really learned a lot. The only thing I'm sorry about is that I always felt I was not vocal enough to be with so many people that have so much experience on these panels, you know, on these boards. So that's the only drawback I had for myself.
You did a good job.
You did a good job, Mike. Definitely.
So can we have a motion to accept Michael's resignation?
I'll make a motion that we regretfully accept his resignation, and we wish him well.
I second the motion.
Adam, thank you. Discussion on the motion? Hearing none. All in favor? Motion carries. Mike, we wish you the best, and I will definitely see you before you go.
Okay, Linda. That's if I go.
Well, and you know, you're always welcome to come into the meetings and speak.
Okay, yeah, that when you start going in into the meeting again, you know, I plan on being there if I'm here. You know, I just don't know what's going to transpire.
Of course. I think none of us do. So, but
day
thank
to
you
day.
Again. Yeah, clearly that's all we can do. All right, so we'll move on down to 8E. Kathy, we're going to be talking about the outline for the resident commissioner election.
Okay, so the outline is exactly as it was in 2017. I just had to add a 2020 to where it said 2017. Oddly enough, the timeline that I had laid out previously fit all the requirements that Peter Hance had given me for how many days you had between each thing that was taking place. So to not rock that boat, because I didn't take notes on the days and the amount of time, I just was able to follow the timeline. And I think that everyone has a copy of it. So we start with July 1st, the vacancy, and then July 6th, the notice is supposed to go out to all the residents informing them of the election process for the seat of resident commissioner. And it offers everyone that is in good standing that they can opt to submit their interest in running for the seat. And then we have the whole July 20th, if they're interested, their letter of intent has to come back. And then Ellen checks to make sure that, you know, they are in good standing. We have a cutoff time at 4 p.m. And then we send out a list on the 27th of July, noting all the candidates, the people that are interested in running. And then we also send it out letters to those candidates confirming that they still are interested in running. And then our election, now here's where it gets a little dicey. The election on site would be scheduled for Monday, August 24th. However, I am quite concerned with us even contemplating having an on-site election. I honestly don't think it's a good idea to pull our residents, even we do social distancing. And I feel like at this time, I would go with absentee voting. which would maybe be more expensive. My thought was to send all the residents ballots with pre-stamped envelopes so that they can, you know, make their choice and send it in. We'll give them a cutoff date. And then what I would do is I would have the League of Women Voters from Bridgeport area that we had last time. I would have them come on that cutoff date to the office to open all the envelopes and to count the ballots and to determine the winner at that point. And it's really up to the board to decide how they want to go. I know Joan probably has a vision on that too, what her feelings are. She's in the trenches every day with the residents. She might have a feeling towards if we want to call everyone out to vote. But we should try to get this done so that September 3rd, we have the new resident commissioner at a meeting and the mayor swears that person in.
Perfect. Yeah, no, that was really fortuitous that it fell at the same time, the July 1st beginning date. I don't have problems with absentee ballots. I mean, if you were to do on site, it would have to be at each site in one location. It can't be in one site. It's just too much to manage and it would be so hard to social distance.
Yeah. I think that last time we did it at three different sites, that was my original intention last time. I know we had a problem with the League of Women Voters. They have a shortage of people because of the summertime. I can't see that would happen again now, but I could see that some of their people might not want to come out. They might not want to be in that situation. So I haven't contacted anyone from the state, which I was going to ask Linda or even someone from Imagineers if they could find that information out, if that's something we can actually do. Do we need specific ballots to do that? Can we still use our ballots that we created for voting?
Mailing?
Linda.
Yeah.
Linda, I'm going to have to hang up because my phone's ready to shut down.
Oh, okay.
Mike, I didn't want it to shut down on you.
Have a good night.
All right,
bye,
thank you. And thank you for everything. All right, thank
you
guys.
Bye-bye.
Thank you, Linda.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All right.
Bye, Mike.
So do the ballots have to be specific, to look specific? All
right. Right. Can we use our ballots, which our ballots are actually, we have a Spanish-English ballot that we had done.
Mm-hmm.
We have all of our posters, everything has the dual language.
Okay. The one thing that Ellen reminded me is now because Imagineers is taking over the Section 8, we can do the address stickers for the other residents, but the Section 8, we don't have those lists. We're going to have to get them from Imagineers.
Right, we need a running labels or a list of all the Section 8 Derby residents.
Okay.
Because they have to be invited to also put their hat in the ring for, you know, the resident.
Yeah.
Commissioner.
Okay, so.
Oh, Maria, you're still on. That's a blessing. Thank you.
So we'll format it. I'm sorry. We'll format it to your labels. Or do you
that would be helpful
to create the label,
Ellen?
It's whatever you can do.
Okay, and then we'll send it to Ellen.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Perfect. Okay.
But these need to go out on the 6th.
Well, we were supposed to send them out on the 6th. Today is the 2nd, so we don't have we have 4 days. I mean, we have a day or 2 days we could play with it. The 6th is actually
Monday.
Yeah, so we could do it Monday. We could actually get them out Tuesday latest if necessary.
We can probably do the residents of the three facilities on Monday, but Tuesday probably for the Section 8 residents.
Okay.
If Maria, you could get that to us.
Sure, right away.
And Ellen, perfect. I will email you the letter that goes out to all the residents.
Okay.
So that they could just get stuffed in envelopes.
Okay.
I know.
We had talked about
you don't have anything to do.
Well, we had actually talked about it just being a project for Diana.
Oh, perfect.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think Laura could probably help too.
I think she'd be delighted.
Yeah.
She's been really helpful.
Good. So I think we have it all under control. I also just want the other commissioners' permission to contact the League of Women Voters. But I don't want to until I know if I could say to them, we want you to be on site or we want you to come and just count all the ballots. So once we find out that it's okay to do that, to do an absentee ballot, I know that's like a buzzword right now. So I just want to make sure that the state is going to be okay with us doing that.
Sure. All right. I'll do my best to track that down on Monday.
Okay.
Any other discussion about this? All right. So Kathy, you and I will be talking on Monday.
Yes, ma'am.
And Ellen, you'll look for the letter. You'll look for the letter and you'll have Diana at least begin the residence. And then Maria, when you can get us the list of Section 8, we'll get those out. Hopefully, you know, we'll get them out on Tuesday.
Yep.
Ellen, okay. I'll send it to you as soon as we're off. I'll forward it to you.
Okay.
Kathy, anything else you want to say?
No, that's it. Thank
Adam,
you.
Adam, questions for Kathy? You're welcome.
I don't have any questions. I guess I would just say, I guess from my perspective, Kathy, you ran this program very successfully previously. I don't see a need for any type of motion or action from the board. This is a required function of what we do. And it may sound like a punt on my part, but you have this well in hand. And I'm not going to mess with that. So
all right.
You do you. You've got it. Whatever you need, please reach out, and I'll help you however I can.
My only problem is going to be the date of the counting of the ballots, which was my problem in 2017, is that I am back to school that time. What for me, if back to school right now, I'm on the district committee, and it sounds like we're just gung-ho, walking through the doors, just like nothing changed with masks and gloves, and that's it. I don't really honestly think it's going to happen that way, but if it does, I won't be around at all to take part in any of this. That's the only glitch for me, but it worked okay
all right,
last time.
Just give us a little lead time, and we'll
I'll
be right there in the trenches. We'll sort it out.
Okay.
Wonderful, because I may be in California at the same time. That's the 24th of August.
Yeah,
she talked to her doctor today. It's looking like I might be gone. You know, COVID aside, we'll have to see what's going on, but August 2nd to the 31st.
Good.
So, but we'll keep you posted on. All right. Adam, thank you. Kathy, thank you. You do a fabulous job with this.
Thank you.
You're welcome. All right, so that brings us down to, I just wanted to open the discussion of the non-smoking policy. I sent you all the HUD book. I don't know, it's lengthy. I don't know if anybody had thoughts or time to read it, but I think we really do need to go back to a subcommittee and include Joan and find a way to implement this, because that was really so awful. I know that none of us want to go through that situation again.
Yeah, I agree with you, Linda. I obviously I spoke about on it earlier, and I am very happy to hear that Joan has experience with it. I was wondering, in addition to my earlier comments, if we could expand what we're doing with that, or what I hope we're going to do with that, beyond just our sites and into our Section 8. So anybody that is receiving vouchers through the Derby Housing Authority, we have an interface with our landlords that says, okay, do you have a smoke-free property, you know, and how do we engage our voucher holders and our landlords to say, nope, that's a thing, and we support it, and how do we move forward and create healthier spaces?
That's great, especially for families with children. Or with elderly, it's so important.
Yeah.
I know that smoking really, there's so many kids today have asthma, and smoking really exacerbates that.
Yeah.
The secondhand smoke is more dangerous than inhaling.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, Texas, so maybe our folks from Imagineers could weigh in, being that they are our vendor for the management of Section 8. Is it possible to extend these rules and or instructions beyond our properties alone?
Vicente, you wanna address that one?
What was the question? I'm sorry.
With regards to a non-smoking policy, obviously we are able to influence what does and does not occur within our property specifically. But being that we are the issuer of these Section 8 vouchers, can we influence what occurs on properties with regards to our voucher holders? So anybody that receives a voucher through the Derby Housing Authority, can we say that they must engage with a landlord that wants a smoke-free property, or they could have availed to them the opportunity to enter into a smoking cessation program?
I think that could be determined by the lease, but we would need to go ahead and take a look at that, to be quite candid with you. And we haven't had any, in all the years that we've been doing this, we haven't had that request, but we would need to take a look at it.
Well, then consider this request. I want you to look into it and
Absolutely.
See how we can move forward and ensure that we're creating healthy housing for people on Section 8.
Absolutely. We'll go ahead and inquire. Get back to you.
That's amazing, Adam.
Yeah, nice job. Yeah.
So maybe we can have one of you sit on a subcommittee with us as we work on this project. I know Bob's not here today, but do we have volunteers for the subcommittee?
Yes, I'm in.
Thank you. I will be in too, and I will, you know, I'll talk to Bob and maybe one of you.
If allowable, if I was allowed to, I would be glad to sit in.
Oh, Joan, absolutely. We would not want to do this without you.
Oh, okay.
and maybe someone from Imagineers for input on the Section 8.
I guess we'll just engage with Ken, and he'll have to assign someone appropriately. But I definitely want our vendor who's managing our Section 8 program to have a face on this issue.
Sure. Yeah. Definitely.
Okay. Sounds good. All right. So we'll try to come up with a date and send it to Ken and Joan, and I'll talk to Bob and see if he's interested, and we'll get a meeting together.
Great. Okay.
Okay. Anything else that we want to say about this before I turn it over to Ellen? Okay. Ellen?
Okay, let's see. Okay, a financial report. The checks were all cut today. Bob just needs to come in and sign them. Linda signed them already. They'll be mailed out Monday. The complexes, I have two empty at Steiger. They're working on them now, citywide. And 76 Ultimate Cleaning is working on. And then I have just two up at Guardiano that are empty, and Citywide is working on them. And I sent letters out to the next five people on the list, and the ones that were up at Guardiano, I at least up four for 7-1 for apartments.
Wow. That's awesome.
Nice.
That is really good. Thank you.
Okay. I think that's it.
Any questions for Ellen? All right. Well, it's been a really long meeting, but I think it's productive, and I thank everybody for participating. I know the circumstances aren't the best. Do I have a motion to adjourn? It is 8:20.
Motion to adjourn.
All right, I'll second.
Okay.
Happy Fourth.
Yes. Aye. Happy holidays, everybody. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Good night.
Good night.
Okay. Bye.